I am a, you know, trained 20-hour street medic, but I'm also an activist. And, yeah, I also do put myself out there and am exposed to violence. I'm actually kind of recovering from some violence from the police a couple days ago. And I do push myself a little bit more. And, you know, today I'm kind of tending the medic tent and kind of doing the medic role because it kind of keeps me mindful. Keeps me mindful of, you know, myself, where I'm at, what I'm doing, and also keeps me mindful of my comrades. I've been doing stuff like this for a while. Like, during Katrina, I joined the Red Cross. I helped run some shelters. When I saw the lack of help, and I saw those people begging for help, I saw the conditions of, you know, they were in the Superdome, and people were dying. It was just, it was horrific. It was horrific. And it was just so frustrating that the government wasn't helping. So I was like, okay, the government isn't helping people, so we have to help people. We each can help each other. You know, we each can help each other through this. We don't need a government that doesn't really care about us.
Yeah, and of course, that's a big piece of the work that Occupy New York did with this Hurricane Sandy, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a lot of the kind of frontline aid was actually provided by people out of the Occupy movement.
Yeah, and actually, more recently, I do believe Hurricane Harvey this past year, or the last year, the most recent one that devastated parts of Texas, a lot of the Black Lives Matter, they donated a lot of their time. A lot of the activist community donated their time, effort, resources to help victims of those things. So everybody's journey is different, but I know that there are medics here that were involved in the Occupy movement, you know, and in various, you know, hurricane relief movements and whatnot.
Right. I think people kind of underestimate the role that sleep deprivation or the barrier, you know, the impediment that sleep deprivation is playing in this movement. And clearly it's something that DHS is trying to capitalize on. Right. They're trying to keep people awake, trying to keep people kind of mobilizing when there isn't a real threat, trying to drain your energy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the newest instance is like they have this big sports stadium light that they turned in last night, which is so bright that neighbors across the street called council members to complain about it. So they had to shut it off within 10 minutes. They honk horns late at night by them trying to control our sleep patterns, trying to control how we react to them, stuff like that. They feel like they're in control, like they're powerful. At this point, they will not shoot us in the street in broad daylight. I mean, they cannot do that. But they can pepper us, and they can, you know, expose us to vast amounts of chemical weapons. I mean, we have two patients here now with, like, massive bruising. I mean, they were shot point blank with pepper balls. I mean, this is like a paintball gun on steroids. So there are people that have gone into seizures because of the flashing lights that they've been exposing us to. Their lights on their cruisers and whatnot, the bright lights, the noise, you know, the intimidation, the fear has definitely, you know, triggered a lot of people into PTSD as well as seizure. It definitely does affect the psyche of, you know, the peaceful protesters here.
And there's people in the camp who've experienced pretty extreme violence in the past, and yet they're back here again. I mean, and extreme violence from the police in some instances.
Yeah, I mean, myself included, 2 days ago, I was part of the human chain that attempted to hold back the deportation transport bus. And I still have an injured elbow, and you can kind of see where the cuff cut into my wrist, a little bit right there. I had a concussion. I still have bruising on my left eye. Yeah, I was slammed to the ground and have, like, bruises on my back from knees. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty brutalized. I mean, it was a very brutal arrest. I mean, there was no reason. There was chemical weapons, you know, deployed at that point. And that was when my comrades were, you know, sprayed point blank with chemical weapons. I'm not sure what kind of gases they have in the pepper balls, but I know that they had bear mace. One of the security guards was spraying indiscriminately into protesters that were behind the yellow police tape, just spraying people.
And you were not resisting arrest?
No, we were just standing linked arms.
There were 8 people who were arrested, was it?
Yes, 8 people. We had to have people devoted to this cause, because, I mean, there's people in the jails and detention centers suffering right now. I mean, a Facebook post isn't going to help these people. I mean, if they're suffering now, I have to suffer now. If they're, I'm going to do this until they're all free or until I'm dead. You know, that's what it's going to take. Policies and politics are important and needed, are definitely an important tactic in this battle, in this war against injustice, but it's not the only tactic, and we need direct action. It's just like, I mean, here I am, medic. Here's an analogy for you. It's like if you have a wound, like a spurting wound that's jetting out blood, and an infection in the other arm. Okay, you have an infection that might take the arm off eventually, and you have to treat that with antibiotics and whatnot, but you also have a gushing wound that you have to put pressure on immediately. So you have to put pressure on the blood gushing wound immediately, save that, and then you can treat the infection. So I take it like that. You know, it's like we need direct action now, as well as voting, as well as getting into, you know, making those phone calls to congressmen. It's all part of it.
I was around for the first Occupy encampment. There are several action camps every year that happen around the country by, like, Earth First and Rising Tide and all kinds of other groups, Camp Trans. And these are places where street medics and healthcare providers go and work out of those places. We've treated a lot of pepper spray here that's been really heavily concentrated on, each time the pepper spray has happened, it's been really heavily concentrated on just two or three people. So we have two or three people who get it really hard, and then we have a handful of people who get kind of a light dusting or the overspray of it. We've also treated, people have been shot with pepper balls on two different days. And they've been, people have been hit with a lot of pepper balls. We counted 18 marks on one person's torso. We counted 12 marks on another person's torso. The ones where people were hit with a lot of pepper balls on individual people happened on Wednesday. We did see the police used a taser on Wednesday also. And just a lot of chemical weapons and a lot of just blunt force. They do a lot of tackling, a lot of body holds, a lot of, like, pain compliance holds as they are holding people down, whether or not the people are moving.
So they're using pain compliance on people who are already compliant?
Yes, and there's video of some of that from the Monday arrests that happened on the hill behind camp. They seem to be targeting people who are filming, and they, specifically for arrest, they seem to be targeting trans and gender nonconforming people and people of color.
Do you get involved as a street medic?
I went to my first protest as a sweet little bleeding heart liberal, you know, white kid from a middle class family. And I watched the police go completely overboard in the use of force against unarmed peaceful protesters, including a cop hit me with his baton that day.
And, how old were you?
Early 20s. And I just thought, wow, if they're going to come at me like that, what are they going to do to other people? Like, oh, it's true. All these times people have said the police overreact, the police have no oversight, the police are allowed to do whatever they want. And that day being, like, this sweet young college kid and getting hit by a cop for walking in the street with 1,000 other people, it just really opened up my mind.
So that sounds like that was a kind of transformative moment for you across the board, a kind of political awakening?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you've kind of continued down that road since?
At full speed. I've been able to provide support for people's ongoing medical needs. There's people around here who don't have consistent access to a doctor or regular healthcare or adequate healthcare. And we have people providing medical care here. We have people who are nurses and people who are doctors, and there's a midwife here. So we've definitely been able to meet the needs of a wide range of people while we're working.
What are you seeing in terms of the potential for injury and some of the use of force?
We've seen with pepper spray on people's faces, it does make people unable to see, which can lead to all kinds of other injuries as they stumble around in a panic. We are pretty strong as people, and we are willing to stand up to this pain and move beyond it. In particular, with the use of pepper balls, I saw them used I saw them shot into someone from less than a foot away, which is not how those lesser lethal weapons are meant to be used. And I saw people who were already handcuffed and lying on the ground shot with pepper balls. Yes, it was definitely punitive and not for crowd control purposes. And so on those people, we've seen a lot of bruising. And because they're being shot in the torso, we are worried about, you know, damage to kidneys, damage to liver or spleen. So we're monitoring.
So you just showed me your back, and you've got about 17 pepper ball marks on your back and on your stomach. Yeah, what? So you were actually hit in most in the back, right?
Apparently these days, protesters swing with their backs turned. The police come out in front of us and behind us, and they say, okay, if you don't move, then we're going to have to use force. You're on our property, which we weren't because we were on the street. They don't own the street. We're not violating any sort of federal law, and they decided to retaliate against us. Yeah, they didn't even have any jurisdiction. They weren't even supposed to touch us at all. Not to mention that we weren't using any physical force at all. They tried to kettle us. We had this line formation when we were linking arms, so they tried to kettle us, which means that they got in a circle, like, all around us, just in order to surround us and get us from all angles.
Do you feel like, are you seeing a pattern in who's getting singled out to be shot at point-blank range with pepper spray and other supposedly non-lethal weapons?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm trans, and I feel like I got some of the worst of it.
And do you feel like that was part of the, did that inform the experience that you had as you were being booked and put in the holding?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Whenever I was in the ladies' holding cell, they kept on calling me he, that guy. The processing and all that and the holding and all that was pretty traumatic for me as well. Whenever I was put into the stage before the lineup, which was the quote-unquote orientation, they basically manhandled me over there. Like, they squeezed my arm, like, as hard as they can. There was, like, two people squeezing my arm, like, as hard as they could in order to basically almost lift me off the ground where I was just shuffling my feet underneath me. So they bring us all over to...
It's not like you were non-compliant, right?
No, I was complying. I could have walked there without anyone even touching me. Whenever I was arrested, they put these zip-tie cuffs on me, and they were so tight that they were, like, cutting off the circulation to my hands. And by the time I was in the lineup, my hands were going numb, so I told them, my hands are numb, and I need them to be loosened. I need these cuffs to be loosened.
And how did they respond to that?
By getting another pair of cuffs and putting them on me on top of the other ones that I had, and then getting these by shoving snippers, like, under my wrists in order to snip the zip ties off, and that was extremely painful, and I screamed. They jammed those the cutters between my wrist and the cuffs.
How does that make you think about the families that are being held in immigration detention?
Oh, they're probably being treated way worse. I probably got the, like, luxury treatment compared to them because they knew that I was going to be able to get out. And I was going to be able to tell my story sooner.
And get a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say more about why you feel so strongly about this issue, that you've, you know, been a presence at this camp?
Everyone is human, and everyone deserves to be treated equally. Whether it be, you know, immigrants or your neighbor.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who would agree with that, but wouldn't necessarily feel strong enough to be down here doing what the camp is doing.
I'm willing to put myself on the line to make a change. I am not willing to sit down and do nothing.
You've been listening to Voices from Occupy ICE PDX. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Olmo Variety Hour.
Today the soldiers took away one.
Tomorrow they may take away two. Chile was taken last year, but surely they will never take you. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And link to
until you can say you didn't know. It's all right for you if you run with the pack. It's all right if you agree with all they do. If fascism is slowly climbing back, it's not here yet, so what's it got to do with you? So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear, and later you can say you didn't know. The weeds are all around us and they're growing. It will soon be too late for the night. If you leave them on the wind that around the world is blowing, you may pay for your silence with your life. So close your eyes, close your mouth, and never dare. And if it happens here, they'll never come for you, because they'll know you really didn't.